Alright, time for another DoNotGod.com video presentation. Anyway, yes, yeah, starring me. Too bad, right? Oh, crap. It has him in the movie. Anyway, yes. So I was thinking about, you know, what is there for a brain to do? Okay, sort of a question. You know, you're here. You have a brain, you have to do something with it, and what should you really waste your time doing? And so there's all this kind of stuff you could waste time entertaining yourself, fantasizing, you know, some kind of crap. find some sort of interest, some little, like, puzzles or macrame or something. Some other challenge, I don't know, you know, gardening. I spend a lot of time, you know, waste a lot of time. Frankly, you know, half of it's not a waste of time. I'd say the flowers are sort of a waste of time, although people do appreciate that kind of stuff. The flowers in the front. Maybe it's not all waste. But, you know, it's, you know, what's the mission statement? It's really just a way of, it's something controllable, you know, some sort of project you can do that, it's not going to go nuclear. You know, there's this little room for a great tragedy. It occupies and gives you some sense of satisfaction, I guess. So, and then the food part is really good. You know, I can actually grow food now. Because there aren't enough critters to ruin that fun. And so that's kind of, you know, you don't have to buy food to grow it. So that's good. It's probably a little healthier. But this is all little crap, right? That's all the little, you know, shit of life stuff. And you really want your brain to have some bigger mission than, you know, when to plant seeds or something. It's just not much of a thing to ask your brain to figure out. So I was just thinking about that in terms of, figuring out where we are and why we're here and all that kind of crap. And we've been over that so many times. And so I was sort of thinking about the question of whether, you know, I was an atheist before I believed in evolution, or whether evolution gave me a road to atheism. And I have to say that, yes, the God theory never fit. So, I mean, I couldn't believe in God. It was just too silly a story. And it just didn't make any sense. I mean, why would there be all this hardship? And, you know, why would things have to be killed? And why, you know, all the obvious questions of why would you make it so sloppy? If there was a God, why would he... You know, why would there be dead things on the street? You know, that kind of crap. You'd just be asking the natural questions about why things are in jeopardy and why even myself was vulnerable to being harmed. Why would you make harmable things? You know, that doesn't make any sense. And even the idea that once you're harmed, the whole idea that you can't get rid of the pain sometimes, you know, you already know you're damaged, so you should be just a switch to turn it off and just say, I don't need to know I'm damaged. I'm already aware of it, so fuck you, pain. Just logical things like that. So, yeah, I couldn't make any kind of notion that there was a God make any sense. So I have to say that, yeah, I was an atheist without evolution. And then evolution came along as a theory, and it just seemed, you know, when somebody said the words and gave me some brief on it. I heard it, I don't know, you know, I can't remember exactly. I was like, wow, what's such an easy answer? You know, that's so simple. Of course, that's what happened. Okay. You know, we can see the similarity between the other monkeys, and you can, you know, imagine that over a great deal of time, this is what you could create. Just like somebody shows you, you know, a flower and says, well, this is what it looks like now. This is what it looked like 100 years ago. So you saw that kind of stuff, like domesticated animals and how they've been modified to our purpose, even dogs and all that stuff. And that was a pretty glaring example of, okay, that's where we came from. All right, and then you have this theory of, the natural selection part of it. That's about all Darwin added, was just an explanation of a mechanism. And, and there wasn't, it's pretty just simple story that this living stuff changes, and the changes that are, in some way beneficial are the changes that last. And it's not even complicated. It's very complicated. It's not even in the category of complicated, in a sense. Now, actually, the mechanisms and the nuances of the interactions between different organisms and the parasitism and all that kind of stuff does make it interesting as a subject, but I just mean it isn't deep to understand conceptually. You don't need all that stuff. All right, well, anyway, that's not really the point, but the point is that, okay, so if you believe in evolution, you really can't believe in a God, right? So once that happens, that you accept evolution, all the God stories become just some ridiculous thing that we contrived because we wanted to feel important. And it just becomes obvious it's just human storytelling and aggrandizement, and it's, doesn't have anything to do with reality. And there's exactly zero evidence. And again, the argument is, why would a God create a system where organisms have to kill each other and torture each other? I mean, who wants to play with that God? It doesn't go with the word intelligent. Intelligent and torture don't go together. So, it becomes unviable to believe in any kind of mechanism that by any purpose or to serve any purpose created the universe or life. It just is. It's silly, frankly. So that brought up another part of this, is because I was thinking about, well, why do people cling to it and all that kind of crap? And, the people that scare me are the glib, the people who aren't very sensitive. And there's lots of religious people who are quite sensitive. I mean, they're, they wouldn't hurt a fly. And they have some empathy, and they feel bad when somebody else is harmed or hurt. And, in a way, I'm arguing that's sort of all wasted because it's veiled in this nonsense theory. And then there's plenty of other people who aren't religious kooks, but they also aren't nice. And they have no concept that they live in a world of feeling things, and that all of these feelings matter, and that all of it has to be accounted for. So I'm thinking about how you would argue to these different people, and it just seems to me that you should be able to get to the sensitive Christians or Muslims or Jews or whatever, the ones that can feel somebody else's pain to some extent, to recognize how wasteful torture is, and get them to understand that, their faith isn't doing the future. You're not protecting the future from more torture by creating this, fake narrative that says people have to live longer than they want to, and does all this emphasis on, being alive rather than on living well. And it's just cruel. And so you think that would be able to help some of them create their separation from their attachment to any notion that their religious community is caring or doing the world a favor. And so they should be persuadable, just based on the whole thing, that it's kind of obvious that whatever God it is you're praying to, he's not paying any attention. And there's a hell of a lot of wasted torture going on. And that's freaking evil. If something's doing it willfully, especially when they won't bother even talking to us about it. We're just such inferior pieces of shit that we're not even entitled to an explanation. God not even telling people about bacteria, why wouldn't you at least give us that? Give us some kind of information. But no, nothing. So it's kind of, like I said, it's kind of obvious there is no God, because the God would have to be a psychopath to be so disconnected from its creation and so deaf, to its plea for help. All right. But yeah, and then the dark side is that evolution doesn't provide much of a good story, because you just basically are saying, yes, we're just bugs that can sing and dance, because that's basically what evolution is saying. I mean, you can go down the list of all the things. Birds can sing, birds can dance, birds can collect things. Birds can do, it's almost like they don't have a bird Olympics, but it's almost, so obvious that we're not doing much better than, and we have this big giant brain, and we're not using it to do much more than bird brain kind of crap. The whole focus of the cultures and the industries is all just, feeding the crudest and simplest of, entertainment. Not really nurturing in any way progress. And so that's sort of the story, is that, okay, there's a point where, clearly we separate ourselves from biological evolution. So it wasn't, natural selection anymore. As soon as we invented penicillin and stuff like that, there's no more of this natural selection stuff. We've, changed that game. And now it's, the selection process also isn't intelligent selection. So what is it? There's probably a word for that, right? Natural, what's the word for, it's not rational. But anyway, so it's neither rational nor natural selection. It's just, the modification, if you want to call it that. The, humans just sliding into a form based on just these circumstances. But you could argue, frankly, that it's a devolution, in the sense that the only humans that are breeding are the ones that are breeding primarily are poor, dumb, ugly, fat, stupid, all these negative things. It's not even close to being a good sample. Okay, it's almost the worst sample of humans that are replicating at the highest rate. So that's bad news. Now, I guess some of that is a little bit natural selectionist, just because you have to be physically pretty strong to survive poverty and all that kind of stuff. So at least it's a test of some kind. But it's, it's not very good. Okay, we're not helping the future much in terms of providing a vessel for them to exist in that's going to be of superior quality. Okay, the humans of the future aren't going to be physically better than the humans of the past, and just a fact, I think, kind of unavoidable fact to understand. That they're just, they're not having to meet any standard, and that's not good. But anyway, I don't want to get into some eugenics conversation, because that's the least of our problems, because frankly the whole game is in this, in the head, and what's in the head doesn't have much to do with evolution or physical structure. It's has to do with memes and culture and exposure and traditions and, all that kind of stuff. And so that's the stuff I sort of want to talk about, of course, is, what's the, kind of definition of this knowledge evolution, right? There's the knowledge that evolves, and then there's the context that knowledge is in something called intelligence. It's like you have information, and then you have a capacity to do something with the information. And those are two, they're kind of different things, okay? So I could say that some of our technical knowledge is increasing, the capacity for us to model things, solve some stuff with even artificial intelligence, the perception, the vision, we can, build better telescopes and build better things to see with, better devices for collecting information, but you still have to put the information to use. And that means you have to connect it to some idea of a progressing of the function of us being able to choose wisely. So I guess that would be kind of the argument, is that what's the agenda is to see the right future and aim for it and actually hit it. And how do you do that? What does that require in terms of a human perspective? And so that gets sort of into the subject of recognizing that if all we are is bugs, then it really is hard to make an argument that we have there's some real point in us achieving some maximized intelligence. In terms of all knowledge, we don't really need all knowledge. We just need enough intelligence to know, we're bugs, and we really can't produce anything except the experience, and the experience is clearly, not decidedly free. It's not without risk of harm. And then you get into the whole argument of being smart enough to recognize you really don't have a right to impose on something else for your own benefit, or even for the benefit of what you perceive to be some benefit. You have to really prove it's to some benefit. You can't just say it. You can't just say it's in your interest. No, you have to demonstrate it, how it's in my interest. All right, so how to get to that? So we have this brain, and it's clear that we are gaining knowledge, information. I think it's knowledge would be the better word, but whatever. And the fact is, how do you intelligently interpret the knowledge, and how do you intelligently use the knowledge to expedite getting to a better future? So I guess I would say it's easiest. One of the pieces of information is the piece of information that the future is bigger than the present, that there'll be more lives will be at stake, that the present is the foundation for the future, and it's really important that this foundation, the nest we're building, the house we're building, isn't made out of paper, or doesn't dissolve in water, or that we give the future something solid, not something ready to blow up, and that we don't sell the future a lemon. So then we can talk about the evolution of culture and laws and the systems that we create to facilitate our interactions with each other and our capacity to even do this. So the fact is that it's unfortunate that, you know, we're stuck with this commercial company, you know, that has to make a profit and all that kind of crap and satisfy shareholders and has an ambition, you know, that isn't just the creation of this medium and the capacity to interact. And that's why they took away things like video responses and, you know, they censor our comments and they do all this other crap that interferes in that process because for some reason or other, you know, it's to their advantage to sell advertising if they can disengage the connections between the producers and somehow, you know, well, whatever their motives are. The point is that, yes, if we're going to use our brains to design a system, well, the system wouldn't be designed this way if it was going to be, in my opinion, smart or clever. It wouldn't be some capitalist system. It would be just some not-for-profit system that just does this simple thing, just creates this simple mechanism and opportunity to make videos, you know, and provides these minimum functions that allow people to interact, and it shouldn't be polluted by advertising and the needs of advertisers and all that other crap. But anyway, then you have to get into some idea of how it should be financed. And frankly, I think it's valuable enough that it should be publicly financed, frankly. Every human, this should be the public square, essentially. And we all shouldn't mind paying a little bit for it. No big deal. Anyway, that's sort of a whole separate... I mean, each part of the infrastructure can be discussed about what's flawed in it. And the flaws usually... They usually come down to some sort of thing where it's either religion or capitalism that gets in the way of everything. That's why I hate Republicans. You know, because that's all they want to do is ruin everything. Yeah, but like I said, I can't defend the Liberal Party currently. It's just too ridiculous. The bullshit it's obsessed with is these fringe special interests, and they're not really, you know, it's sort of like what happened to unions. I mean, unions used to fight for minimums, and then they fought for fairness, and then they just became extortionists. You know, they just became lazy fucks who will put a gun to your kid's head and said, give me more money or else, you know, they became mobsters. You know, and it's just sad that that's what it comes down to. All right, so I'll take a pause and see if I can better point this video.
There's no choice. Nature can deal with kinetic energy one way or another,
that came on.
But it cannot. Finagle momentum.
Alright, so I was thinking about the fact that most of us spend most of our lives, I think, contriving entertainments. So we end up becoming attached to activities that involve using our brain. You know, so we'll play cards, some people, or gamble, or do some other kind of thing that involves, you know, thinking and strategies. And applying some kind of notion of a skill, okay, and to acquire a desired outcome. And I'll sort of make the parallel to that of, you know, how you can enjoy work by turning work into something that doesn't seem like work. Somehow it's more rewarding. And it's you're acquiring a functionality, but it feels kind of like pleasure, like fun. So I could argue, when I was a kid, we had a lot of rocks in our backyard. My father would tell me, well, why don't you go get some of the rocks out of the yard? Little rocks, you know, just the whole ground was just no topsoil, just rocks and dirt. And so I'd put a bucket on the ground, and then I'd walk 20 feet away and start picking up rocks and throwing them at the bucket, seeing how many rocks I get in the bucket. And so it served both purposes. Most of the rocks went near the bucket, if not in the bucket. And I was acquiring a skill of being able to throw rocks into a bucket. Hand-eye coordination kind of thing. And it was challenging. You want to kind of improve your score. So it was sort of like playing a pinball machine or something else. It kept you interested. And it was kind of a crude version, right? I can't say it's a pinball machine, but I mean, it's, it had its advantages. You're outside, it's, all kinds of different things. And yeah, so it's better in some ways and worse in other ways. But the point I'm trying to make is that I wish I could have known back then that you can use that kind of mechanism to make learning fun, make it challenging, and turn it into like a pinball machine or playing golf or something like that. Now, I'm not going to argue it's the same thing. I'm just going to argue that it gets close enough. All right, it's not watching porn, but it's, it can be gratifying and satisfying and interesting and keep your brain occupied and create enough of a sense of rewards in terms of grokking or understanding something or seeing some new angle to the thing, realizing something you hadn't realized before. I did this one of those today. I can't remember what it was, but it was just interesting. Something I didn't know that, that's interesting. I didn't know that. I'm sort of disappointed in how much of my life I wasted on more conventional entertainments when I could have been entertaining myself by increasing my skill at some other kind of puzzle solving or, like the physics thing. I can't say it's been fun, because it hasn't, because it has become personal in a way. I mean, my whole, the integrity, my whole, me as a person is sort of riding on the fact that I've made claims and I'm, have to prove them. And I'll be judged by them. Let's say it that way. And something's been riding on it more than just, I missed the bucket, no big deal. It's sort of an environment where you can't afford to miss the bucket. So you can't afford to make mistakes. You can't afford to do this and this. So it takes some of the fun out of it because you're not allowed to have a bad shot, it's just less fun, when it's you have to play it in a way that's I don't know how to say it, because it could be fun when it's competitive and you're not allowed to make a mistake. That can also be fun. Just to prove you don't, you can do it that way. Like I imagine, professional golfers kind of enjoy the pressure, some of it, the challenge. That, having the stakes raised can, make it really, well, I suppose that's the whole thing, right? It's the risk-reward thing. You're putting more at stake. The victory will mean more to you. But also the defeats could be worse. So it's a double-edged sword. But anyway, the point is to do this being intelligent thing, using our capacity to advance, the culture, the systems, the models, even the entertainments, to create a better future. Seems a good thing for a brain to do is to work on figuring out how to take whatever waste there is in the current world and try to migrate that out of our interactions and existence. Now, clearly, if I could just convince everybody to be effulist or antinatalist, to reject the idea that procreation or procreation is a good idea, that creating living things that will die and may die very badly and may live very badly isn't something you should be doing with your time. It's too high a risk, and the reward is hard to describe, frankly, because there aren't any perfect lives, and there aren't lives free of grief and hardship. And if there are any, frankly, there's so few that you'd have to be a pretty delusional fool to think you're going to win that lottery. And your kid's going to live the specially privileged, wonderful life instead of the kind of crappy, average, which is, it's almost getting to the point where, the medium age you're going to live to isn't that much higher than the age you retire at. You're not going to get much out of your existence, except a lot of, hardship and pain. But anyway, I don't think I need to go there. I think people have enough. I think they can figure out for themselves that most people don't live lives they would want to live. I think most people know that. I'll take another break and see if I can do better. All right. Unfortunately, a couple of things came to mind. And so it just muddled the water, just muddied the capacity to see where I'm heading. All right. So one subject was there is this distinction between the stuff we enjoy because we think about what we're watching or experiencing, and the stuff where you're not doing much thinking, you're just doing writing a story and putting yourself in it vicariously or something. So you could argue like watching a football game. Most people probably aren't doing much thinking. I used to think, watching baseball or something, I would think about what I would say if I could be on the field and I could whisper in the guy's ear what suggestions I might make, just based on what I knew about the pitcher or something else, and just give him some advice about, look out, he can throw a 100-mile-an-hour fastball, but he's not going to throw one to you, okay? So look for something sloppier than that. Don't go for anything inside, make sure it's the pitch is outside, blah, 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 a little crap like that. So that would give me something to do, okay, in terms of participating in my head, or even predicting what somebody was going to do, whether they're going to, do something just from looking at them. What do you think they're going to do, kind of stuff. Anyway, so there'd be ways of thinking, and playing along, sort of hitting the flippers a little bit on the pinball machine, but you're mostly just watching. You're just following along and not doing much. Not much useful, except maybe imagining yourself in that circumstance or some kind of crap like that. And then there's the more. I see. That's the hard part. Then you want to try to be able to migrate those kind of passive entertainments into something more constructive as an entertainment. And that's sort of the point I'm making, is that it's not that big a difference to go from something passively entertaining to something where you actually are using your brain, but you don't have to use it very hard. As if you went from a pinball machine where you don't hit the flippers to one where you do. And so now you have to apply a little bit of strategy. but it's not less entertaining, is sort of the point. And I could put you know, more flippers, and I could do more things to get you more involved. And as long as I do it in some progressive way, maybe it wouldn't intimidate you or make it unpleasant. So sort of how you migrate into something kind of dictates, you know, how much you can derive out of it as entertainment or enjoyment. So that somehow got me triggered by the idea that, you know, there are people who have for years supported this channel or me, you know, with comments, and you know, there's a couple people send me emails and suggestions, and maybe this will help, maybe this is useful, maybe and I frankly you know, it's a small percentage that really opens any new doors, but the very fact that they're willing and they're trying and is, you know, I never say something like thank you, so I probably should say that in a video now and then, just to create some sort of reward, as meager as it is, and some acknowledgement to make them playing the game of, you know, can they muse, you know, the emendum, you know, their effort to help flip the ball for me, you know, to give the table a little tilt in my direction. You know, and I, you know, frankly, like I said, I am very grateful, and I don't really express that appreciation much. I don't really interact much, and you know, I probably should, but then, you know, me saying I probably should just ends up being, oh, I'm just playing the game now, you know, of manipulating the audience, and now I'm just, you know, trying to create action by creating a reaction, you know, and reinforcing, you know, and it's just, so, you know, it's so hard to get out of any kind of notion of manipulation and self-interest and all of that crap, frankly. But anyway, so just say yes, thank you. You know, even the people who just have been watching my videos for 20 years, you know, appreciate that you're interested. Yeah, you know, it's not like it's in a hardship, right? So I should, you know, it's not like I've, you know, forced some nail in your eye, you know, but it's, yeah, you almost want to apologize. But, yeah, well, whatever. Obviously, having viewers is, it is useful. You know, it makes making the video a little bit more, like, say, you know, like it, like, even if it doesn't have any, as even if it is a delusion that it has value, at least it's a delusion I can die with now. But anyway, so I don't know. Can't really go anywhere from there. So I'll pause and try again. All right, so this sort of came up a little bit in my real life. Just the idea of, you know, first you have the difficulty of acknowledging your existence and some of the downsides to it, and then having to accept how much, you know, how even your own existence is too expensive, you know, and how much you might be causing other people harm without that being your intention, just by trying to live your life, you know, just by purchasing something or doing something else that somebody else is living in slavery, and you've just, you know, accidentally ensured their continued exploitation or some other kind of bullshit. And then all the little stuff of just caring about things that you encounter. I don't know, a bird that, you know, that visits your tree or something, and then the bird no longer shows up, and you know it's probably because, you know, he's met his end, and you know, you have to accept this part of life and this grief, or just living with the fear that, you know, I don't know, somebody's got some kind of bizarre African disease, and you know, you're afraid you're going to catch it. You know, and you know, just this, the crap of life, you know, and the risk of just staying alive. I mean, you could have an aneurysm and it's going to explode any day, or some kind of crap like that. And you're in for a real nasty time. You know, ew. But then the fact is that, you know, the idea is that you have created this machine through your experience, through living a life and learning, and it becomes more and more valuable, you know, the more you acquire knowledge and the systems are put in order and you start measuring and weighing things. There's value to all the experiments you've done in your life, in terms of measuring these kinds of events and tasting them and smelling them and attempting to categorize them. And then all the little skills of being able to, you know, throw rocks in a bucket. Now, that's probably a bad example because, yes, I acquired a lot of useless skills, but some people have a lot of good skills in the sense that they've acquired programming knowledge or some other functionality that they could put to good use in terms of, you know, creating mechanisms that will enhance people's capacity to learn and become more sophisticated in their function. I say yes, just becoming more intelligent, because really intelligence should have kind of a direct correlation to decency. And unfortunately, I found that the correlation isn't as strong as I thought it would have been. I had sort of the impression that intelligence made it impossible for you to be an asshole, but it really doesn't. A lot of smart assholes. So, but there seems still it's the slope isn't as high as I thought it would be. So it's still a slope though. I mean, there's still a correlation between intelligence and, character. Okay. So it's still a positive thing, and it, you know, any enhancement of a person's character, their capacity to be useful to the human race and not just useful to themselves. And that's really the whole point of this whole video, is to sort of have it, you know, get to that point where, you know, there's it's an obligation, I would argue, but, you know, you don't have to think of it in those terms as an obligation. You can just think of it in terms of, why not enhance your functionality and say, well, what's your brain capable of? And should it entertain you, or should it do something just as valuable as entertaining, which is preventing harm in others, you know, through your capacity to, convince the rabid dogs not to bite anybody, that's how bad it is, you know, is that, yeah, okay, it's a very difficult task to be a do-gooder, because the evildoers are rather belligerent in maintaining their evildoer function, so it's hard to be able to find the negotiating room, you know, a place to start a negotiation with a rabid dog. You know, it's just, what do? You know, a little squeaky toy? I mean, you know, how do you, you know, what do you have to distract it first? Or, you know, it's, you know. And that's part of the problem, is a lot of the people you have to communicate with aren't intelligent. And so it's not going to do you much good to have the words, because you're going to need something more than just words to lead the animal, you know, to the trough of knowledge. And then you can have the conversation with it. I mean, it has to be smart enough to have the conversation before you can have the conversation, right? So I guess that's one of the liabilities of this kind of game of attempting persuasion, is the people you're attempting to persuade have to be smart enough to be persuaded. And there is an actual, I think it's an actual fact that, you know, people can be too dumb to understand an argument, and it doesn't matter how logical or how factual it is, they're just too stupid. That's a real problem. Don't really have a solution to that one at this moment, you know, except doing this perhaps more friendly social thing, which, you know, I don't really, you know, there's not much chance I can migrate to that kind of functionality. But whatever. Just throwing it out there. So anyway, I'm still not getting quite to the point I wish to make, which is, it's just this idea, like the game is finding a good game. You know, that's one of the games you're playing, is picking the right pinball machine. I don't know. You know, it's like, first you have to be able to do all of that first, you know, before you can do anything really constructive, is you first have to choose the right method, the right wheelbarrow. You know, I guess, you know, I don't know how to, you know, it's like, this is a job and you've got to do it a certain way, and there's certain rules. Like, there's this little bridge and you can only have 200 pounds on the bridge, and so there's no point in having a wheelbarrow that already weighs 200 pounds. So, you know, that kind of thing. And so there's all this logistics just to get yourself into a condition where you can start to be some good or do some good, beyond just being a bird, you know, collecting blue things, or a bird singing, or a bird dancing. I mean, there's really no point in having the big brain, again, if all the big brain is going to do is figure out how to steal more quarters to put into the porn machine. You know, if that's all it's going to do, then what's the point? There's no point in having the big brain. No point in having the capacity to do all this thinking if all you're going to apply the thinking to is, you know, how do I get more food? How do I get more? How do I get more? If you're just going to be an animal, then you're going to be just a dumb animal. You don't want that written on your tombstone, you know, just a dumb animal, just another useless player in the game, who just hit foul balls, you know. didn't enhance the game, didn't make the game better, didn't do anything except waste oxygen. It's sort of an argument, but all right, we'll try one more pause and see if I can it's all difficult. All right, just thought of the, you know, it's not difficult. It's really, the whole point is it's so simple, and it's just the noisemakers that get in the way. Just recognizing that all, you know, spider, bugs. I mean, this is what living machines do in the context of their creation in this competitive environment, this fight over resources, and that most of these organisms, you know, it's all started with them just stealing sunlight, you know, stealing the sun's energy. And then they started stealing each other's energy. And it's just a sad, tragic story. And all of this complexity for no better purpose than propagating design features, you know. Terribly high price to pay for playing a really redundantly stupid, pointless evolution game. And so all that part should be quite easy to explain. What gets in the way is there's all these people just making these squeaky sounds saying, you deserve a break today. Increase McDonald's profit margins. That's what you deserve to do. Just make them richer. Some sort of bullshit. All this crap, this distracting crap, all this hype about what people should be interested in when they shouldn't be interested in any of it, okay? All that sports crap is all just wasted resources. Spend your time finding something better entertainment. If you need to watch competition or you need to bet on something, bet on a competition to, watch people clean the street faster. Who can sweep the street the fastest? We should have competitions that have something to do with enhancing the human condition, not just wasting billions of dollars, tons of resources, nonsense, stuff that is useless. It's just so profoundly useless, so undeserving of rewards, we should be doing this more, it's reward and punishment's the only tool we have. And frankly, we shouldn't have to use it, in the sense that the whole point of me making this video is that you shouldn't need any rewards and punishment to realize that you should make the most of the brain you've created, and you should try to maximize its function, and you shouldn't waste it, watching clocks, betting on what cockroach is going to run across the floor the fastest. You really should be doing something better. That you shouldn't need to be reward and punished for, in the sense that it's just the only way you can add up the numbers that we're given. The numbers that were presented say that's the only rational thing to do with your brain. You don't waste it on yourself. You try to utilize it to fix bigger problems than you're broken. So I guess that's probably a good ending theme, is that there's systems. You're one of the systems. Your culture, your nation, the world is another system. These are all systems. And the whole idea is, if you're going to expend the resource of your brain being applied to a problem, you should fix the big problems, okay, not the insignificant little problems. But certainly you need to fix the little problems if they're in the way of you being able to apply yourself to the big problems. That's the tricky side of this, because a lot of this philosophy is depressing and discouraging and under-motivating. So you really do have to contrive the obligation that, I don't get to have dessert, and so you have to live without it. You have to be able to accept that, not much is going to be in it for you, and be able to, have a piece of toast and pretend it's cake. That kind of thing. Settle for a little less and accept that you did the right thing. And be rewarded by that thought, I guess. Again, it's all just a head game, so you can just pretend you won the lottery. you can do, it's just if you have to feed your brain, then feed it, we're pretty good at fantasizing. We're pretty good at, pretending. So do a little pretending if you need to make it possible for you to recognize that there's no point in being defeated or feeling defeated. It's useless. And the real objective is to just keep yourself functional enough to be capable of perhaps throwing the rock that fills the bucket. The bells go off and it says you win. We all win. Whatever. All right, so that's probably enough. I'll pretend it's enough. That's what I'll do. So strange video, I have to concede. The whole thing is kind of strange because I thought these conversations really shouldn't be that difficult, but they are, and that's just unfortunate. And a lot of it's disappeared out of the internet. I was even thinking about the AI thing, and it probably would be how you could expedite some of this creation of an argument by just asking the AI to tell you, what are the top 10 reasons not to believe in God? What are the top 10 arguments against the existence of God? Just all that kind of stuff. Because, there's so many. And, there's just so many silly things in the Bible that you can quote. And, and just the whole idea that there's all these other silly religions and this one's no better than that one. There's no credible evidence that makes one of them stand out as being so much better because, somehow their holy book actually did predict the future. It actually did say something like, that there's microbes, something, some piece of information that wasn't known at the time, that was hidden as code in the Bible. And it's been revealed that, only God could have put that in there. Only something that knew what the future would have been, or some kind of crap. So obviously, there's just no evidence for ESP. Okay, there's no evidence for talking to the dead, and there's no evidence that there's a creator and that life is a deliberate construction. It's so disappointing because there's actually people that are fairly intelligent. They talk about how in physics they talk about this idea that the physical universe is a simulation, and you're saying, who would write this simulation? Even in the Matrix, I don't think, I don't think the robots were silly enough to say, well, let's have torture and death. I don't know if they'd even bother with any of that stuff in the Matrix, right? Even if you had to give people a grueling life, you could take out all the really gratuitous stuff. You don't have to kill people and you don't have to run them over in the street or something. why would you include all those nasty, horrible bits? I mean, there's one thing, back to the when Japan had that tsunami and, there was this woman telling the story of how, she was holding on to her daughter's hand and then the water came and just pulled her right out of her hand. And you're just saying, what kind of insidiously insane God would say that's a permissible event? Yes, I'll allow that to happen. Come on. It's almost what human on earth can sit there and say they're worth it. Oh yeah, it's okay. I had a good time at Disneyland, and then I fucked some bitches and I had a few drinks and I cheated on my taxes and I had some, and I'm all that's worth it. you know, that's good. That's enough good stuff to way overwhelm the whole idea of just, you know, having to live with the fact that you had to watch your daughter. Yeah. Pulled right out of your hand. I mean, right out of your hand. I mean, how do you live with that? I don't know. Yeah, I'm just, you know, and just trying to imagine it. I almost go into shock. The shock of just attempting to imagine it is almost enough to make me comatose. Because it's just so, just thinking about finding her little crumpled body in the mud. No. There's nothing we're doing that's worth the misadventures. The misadventures are so bad and so horrible and so gross and such an insult to our sensitive dignity. I just don't know why you people think it's worth accepting. Why are you accepting this bug life and saying, let's have more of it. Being a bug is fun. That's the part that's just hard to understand. I would have, I could never vote for it. I would have never voted for it. You know, that's just the fact. I mean, you know, at 6 or 7 years old, I had already seen enough, frankly, and was pretty certain this isn't something I would suggest making more of. I mean, don't make another version of me and another viewer version of my town and put it somewhere else and then make another version and put it somewhere else. No. Don't make any more of this. It's not going all that well. All right. Anyway. So, till the next time, and such, and so forth, and whatnot. You get what you get. I mean, sorry. I mean, it's just the way that it works. I didn't know what kind of video it was going to be. It's not my fault. Blame yourselves. Okay, because really, I'm just a reflection. I'm just a consequence of the world that exists. I'm just a reaction to that world. So the world, you made me. I didn't make you. You made me. Well, I guess I partially made some of you. You know, I guess I can't escape accountability. Oh, damn it. So I made the problem I'm trying to fix? Well, I didn't do it, obviously. I wasn't here. So I obviously couldn't have done it 100 years ago. whatever. It really shouldn't be. I don't know why people keep living. They just keep remaking the same mistakes. And that's another one of those things you just can't really understand. Okay, anyway. Till the next time, and such and so forth, and whatnot.